Let's take a moment to thank the band for all the hard work those guys put in every week. Sound guys, huge volunteer effort, and I'm always really blessed to play and sing along with them, and it's just really awesome. I want to let you know about a campaign our church is starting today. Actually, today is sort of the kickoff for it. Week one we'll call next week, but today is sort of the kickoff. I'll sort of introduce to you what 40 Days in the Word actually is. 40 Days in the Word is a discipleship campaign. A disciple is a student, a learner. And what it basically is a campaign for you to learn how to love the Word of God, how to learn the Word of God, and how to live the Word of God in our daily life. This campaign is developed by Rick Warren and Saddleback Church. And last year alone, the year before last year, because it's 2014 now, in 2012 alone, 4,500 churches participated in this campaign. Can you believe that? Many more have actually done it since then. And so you might be asking, okay, Lincoln, what are we going to do over the next 40 days? And the answer is right here in this little booklet. I want to thank Rick. Actually, Rick's our promotions guy for putting this together for us. This basically walks you through each and every step of what goes on in this campaign. So we'll see, how can I participate? Individually, each of you as an individual will be invited in to grow in your own daily time with God. So there's a daily devotional prayers. You'll see them on the insert right here. Every day of the campaign, our prayer coordinator, John Keating. Where are you, John? Raise your hand. He's all the way in the back there. John's written prayers for every day of the week. If you have a prayer need throughout this campaign, that's the guy you want to talk to. You can talk to any of the ushers, any of the leadership. We're happy. We love it when you do. But it's all going to end up back on John, because John's the guy who's taken on this wonderful task of prayer and leading us in prayer over the next 40 days. I also want to let you know that there's going to be a short Bible study assignment. And what that basically looks like is that each of us as individuals, every day, can sit down with the Word of God and study it and actually get something out of it. Now you might be thinking, oh, I hate homework. And I say, don't worry. This is volunteer. You do as much or as little as you feel the Spirit's leading you. See, what happens is oftentimes we say, you know, 2014, I want to make a new resolution. I want to grow closer to God. But then we fall back into our habits and we sort of lose track because we haven't planned ahead. And what this is basically, it's just a plan. It's just one way. It's not the way. It's one way to read the Bible. It's one way to study it, to meditate. It's one way to grow closer to God. And I want to encourage you to join me because I think it's a good way. And I think that whatever you draw from it, however much you participate, God is going to speak to you. I want to let you know that as a group, you'll be able to do things. You know, each week, there'll be small groups. Small groups are basically exactly what they sound. A group of people, they meet either on this campus or in each other's homes. And each group has a workbook. And I'll explain more about this later. But a workbook is basically the format for it. It has a weekly sessions. And a session is basically every time you meet with a workbook. And you walk through, you watch a video for a half hour, and then you answer questions, and then you talk. And it's really a lot of fun. If you look on the back of your 40 Days in the Word pamphlet, you'll see a list. Actually, I'm sorry, that's the sermons. You look on the second to last page, it says 40 Days Small Group Schedule. And there it is. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 small groups, all meeting at different times throughout the week. Here it is. Pick one that works for you. Go and check it out. If you like it, great. If not, no worries, you know. And these small groups will meet only during the 40-day campaign. So that's all we're asking you to sign up for is just check it out for 6-7 weeks. And if you like it, great. And the group can keep going after that if it wants to or it doesn't. So there's no commitment other than show up and have your hearts open and ready to experience the Word of God. Also want to let you know that each Sunday we're going to have sermons, and I'll be giving these sermons. You can look on the back, and this is what we're going to study each week as a church. Today I'm going to talk about what it means to build your life upon the Bible. Next week I'm going to talk more about why we trust the Bible, where it came from, how we know that it's actually God's Word. And then in January 26th, it's going to talk about how the Bible changes us. We're going to see seeing what God wants me to see. It's also known as a fancy word as hermeneutics. How do I see in the text the meaning of it that God wants me to see? We're going to learn how to study a Bible passage. We're going to learn how to understand the meaning of a text. To understand the meaning of the text is hermeneutics. And integrating God's Word into my life. How do I take the Bible and make it stick with all the various parts of my life, my work, my family, my relationships, and so on. So if you want to turn with me, you've got a little handout right here, and you'll also see it on the slides behind me. And as I go through my message today, I want to really encourage you, write it down. Raise your hand if you need a pen or a pencil right now. Okay, just no worries, just raise your hand. John's going to grab a bunch of pens and pencils in the back, and he's going to run you a pen or a pencil if you need one. So just keep that hand up till you get one, and I'm going to jump right in. So, Jesus ended the Sermon on the Mount, the most famous sermon in all of the Bible, by telling a story. He says this: there were two guys that built houses. They built them on different foundations, though. One of them built it on a rock foundation, and another one built it on sand. Then the unexpected rogue winds came, the storms and the trials of life, and the tsunami. It just hit these homes and devastated the one that was built on sand. However, the one that was built on rock withstood the test of the hardships. Jesus says, right after this story, in Matthew 7, verse 24, he says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine," that's the word of God, the Bible, "and puts them into practice," and we're actually going to teach you how to do that, "it's like a wise man who built his house on a rock." So this weekend starts off, and I want you to look at, how do I do that? How do I build my life upon the rock, so that when the tough times come, we're able to handle it? Hey, 2014 is here. You don't know what tough times are going to happen, but I can tell you this, they're going to happen. You're going to have times that are going to challenge you. There's going to be emotional storms. There's going to be spiritual storms. There's going to be physical storms in your life. And if you're not built on a solid rock, a foundation of something that doesn't shift, doesn't move, you're going to crumble. You can't build your life on the opinions of others. You can't build your life on popular opinion and on the life of culture. You have to build it on unchanging truth. If you have a Bible, I want you to open to James chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 19 through 25. And if you have the handout, this is where we're going to start, right here. How do I build my life on the Bible? The answer is to look at it the way that God actually wired you and shaped you. God gave us each five senses. Can you name the five senses? The first one is? Hearing. What's the second one? Sight. What's the other one? Smell. What about this? That's right. What about this one? Touch. There you go. You guys are smart. All five senses. And the cool thing is that this scripture verse in James 1, verses 19 through 25, uses all five senses to encounter God's word. Let's look at it. So if you're taking notes, the first way that I build my life on the Bible is this. Go to the next slide. I receive it with my ears. I receive it with my ears. Hearing the word of God. Hearing God speak to you. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. Every time you hear your pastor teach a message, you hear a Bible teacher, you hear a study on the radio, you hear something on iTunes or whatever, a sermon that preaches the word, your faith is actually being built. That's really a cool concept. And you're actually doing the first one right now. You're listening to me read the Bible to you. And that builds your faith. Faith comes by hearing the message, and the message comes through the word of Christ. Let's look at what James says. James 1:19. Everyone should be quick to listen. Circle quick to listen on your handout. Circle that, quick to listen. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept. Circle that word, accept. Accept the word planted in you, which can save you. It is the word of God that saves us. If you don't hear the good news, you cannot be saved. James says, be quick to listen. That's using my ears. And he says, accept the word. So in this passage, it's basically saying, I'm going to receive it with my ears. It's interesting, accept the word, the translation for this is actually a hospitality term, dekomai. It means to welcome in a stranger. You ever think about that with the Bible? I'm welcoming in someone into my heart. It's an attitude of saying, God, I'm wide open to what you have to say in that moment. And I've got an attitude of acceptance. I welcome it into my life. It also says planted. That's an interesting agricultural metaphor. Planting a seed. It's interesting. You see this used so many times in the scriptures about God's word. The seed is the word of God. And the soil is our hearts. The parable of the sower, Jesus told the story. Some of you might remember this. He says receiving the word is actually the seed being planted in your life. I'm not much of a gardener. My mom is. My mom is amazing. You should see her backyard. It's like, I don't know. Give me a parallel of some great garden. Botanical gardens, Huntington gardens. It's just crazy. It's fountains and ponds and all kinds of stuff. And one of the things I watched her over the years as she brought me into her gardening is I noticed that you could use the same exact seed and plant it in three different soils and get three different results. So it's not the seed that changes, it's the soil. You can plant a tomato seed in a rocky soil, in a hard-packed soil. You could plant it in a fertile soil that's ready, it has manure, it has nitrates, has all the things it needs. And you'll get different responses. Some, the seed won't even grow. Others, it'll grow, but it only yield little tiny tomatoes. But man, that fertile, primed, ready-to-go soil, big, huge tomatoes come out, real fruit. And so the same thing when you hear God's word, your heart needs to be prepared. If you come to church and you got up late, you stayed up way late the night before, and you're rushed in, you couldn't find your parking spot, and you're all frustrated, and it's raining, and you know, which never happens around here. And you get in, and you're really irritated, and you're moved, and you're like, you get in, and you just plop down in your red chair, and you're like, all right, God, what do you want? All right, okay, come on, let's do this. The truth is, you're not going to hear God's voice. Why? Because you're not receptive. The soil is not ready. And for good reception, the passage teaches that we need to have four attitudes. And these are the four attitudes of good heart reception. Remember, televisions used to have antennas on them. You used to have to move the antenna to get a good reception. We don't do that anymore. You just sit there and, come on, come on. But now we do. You know, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? That Verizon commercial, can you hear me now? There's amazing cell phones and all sorts of things out there that give us great reception. But in order for you to hear God, you need good reception too. The Bible says it's a matter of heart attitude. And here it is. First one says, I must be quiet. I must be quiet to receive the word of God. It says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. Reality is, sometimes you go through your life and you say, nobody listens to me. And all I got to say to you is, are you talking all the time? Are you talking and talking, talking, and you look around and like, why doesn't anybody want to hang out? Why doesn't anybody want to hear my opinion? Well, first you got to listen to be listened to in many ways. You got to be receptive. You have to stop sending out signals in order to receive sometimes. You can't be like, God, I've got 5 minutes. Talk to me quick. Let's get this over with, and then I'll see you later. If you're frantic, your ears aren't open. It's as simple as that. There's another translation of this. It goes like this. Sit down and shut up. You got to be calm in your lives. The third is this. I need to be clean. I need to be clean in my life. In other words, I can't have any junk in my life. So the first one was quiet. Second one was calm. Yeah, if you're angry, man, it's really hard to hear because it narrows your focus in. The third one is we need to be clean. In other words, I can't have any junk in my life. Any sin that's piled up in my life actually stops me from hearing God's word. Did you know this is kind of interesting? The Greek word for filth that's used here, riparian, do you know what it actually is a word for? Earwax. Isn't that perfect? If you have filth in your life, It's basically saying you have earwax in your ear, you can't hear anything. It's the same thing. If we want to get rid of filth and we want to get rid of evil, we're getting rid of those things that plug our ears, our spiritual ears, from hearing the word of God. He says, get rid of that earwax. So I can't hear God if I got junk in my ear. And you're probably thinking, you know, God never speaks to me. I don't hear his voice. My question to you is, do you have some stuff in your life that's plugging up the reception? You need to get rid of some of that emotional garbage. You need to take out some of that spiritual garbage in your lives. There's stuff in all of our lives. We're sinners. We struggle with it. And it stinks. And we need to get rid of it sometimes. That's called repentance. It's turning away from sin. When Jesus said to the adulterous woman, he said, "Woman, where are your accusers?" And she said, "I don't know." And he said, "Go. I don't accuse you either. Therefore, go and sin no more." He didn't just say, "Go right back to your former life." He said, "Go and sin no more." And when we receive God's grace and we go right back into sin, we miss the point because we didn't hear it. So how do I take out that garbage spiritually? How do I get that earwax out of my life? It starts with this. The word is confession. Confession. It means you're basically agreeing with God. "God, you were right. I was wrong." That's what confession means. It means you're aligning with God's will, and you're agreeing with His will for your life, even if it conflicts with what you've been doing. "Lord, it was wrong for me to say that to my kids. Lord, it was wrong for me to act that way towards people." That's an example of confession. So I get calm, and I get quiet, and I get clean. And then the fourth thing is this. I need to be humble. The fourth thing says, humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. What does it mean to be humble? It means to be ready to do whatever God tells me from His word. If I come to God with a prideful attitude in His word, "Okay, God, you tell me what you want me to do, and then I'll decide whether or not I like it, whether or not I'll actually do it." That's not going to work. That's not actually humility. You're not submitting yourselves to His wisdom and His love for you. There's spiritual hearing aids for the first way to get to God's word in your life. I receive God's word through my ears, and then I hear it. And I hear it by being calm and quiet and clean and humble. The second way to build my life on the Bible is to read it with my eyes. This is the second sense, our eyes. I receive it with my ears, but I read it with my eyes. Did you know you cannot grow without reading the Bible? It says in James 1:22-25, it says, "Don't merely listen to the word." In other words, you ought to listen to the word, but don't merely listen to the word. Don't let that be all you do. And so deceive yourselves, because you know what? You're going to forget it. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word of God but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror. Notice the mirror analogy. He says, like a man who looks in the mirror, and after looking at himself, he goes away, and he immediately forgets what he looks like. Gosh, that happens a lot of times on Sunday. Did you know that your brain, scientifically, it's been proven that when you hear a sermon, or you hear a teaching, or you hear a lecture, your brain only retains 5% of that after 3 days. 95% of what I'm telling you right now, if all you do is listen, is going to be gone by Tuesday night. 95%. And so you're going through your life and you're just getting like just a little bit of the buffet. You're just taking like some lettuce. It's like, man, there's a whole feast in God's word. And if all you do is take away from it, just the tiniest bite, man, you're going to be spiritually hungry after a while. No wonder you're going to get frustrated with God. No wonder you're going to be frustrated with the Bible. You've got to read it with your eyes. A man looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, the Bible sets us free, and continues to do this, not forgetting what he's heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. That's the whole reason why we're doing this. I want you to be blessed. And God's word can bless you. So let's go back and let's circle a few. We talked about the first one. He says, don't merely listen. He said, the man who looks intently, circle the word looks intently. Look, circle those two words. That's one of the ways you get blessed. That's reading the Bible, he said, and continues to do this. Circle continues. That's reviewing the Bible. And then he says, not forgetting what he's heard. That's remembering the Bible. Circle that one. Not forgetting. But doing it. That's responding to the Bible. He will be blessed in what he does. To be blessed, you've got to do all of these things. We've got to look at all of them today. We're going to cover them all in more detail. So let's look at them one at a time. First it says, a person who looks intently. What does it mean to look intently at something? When you talk about the Bible, you're not speed reading it. You're not flying through it. You're looking intently into what it says. When I read it and I reflect on it. I think about it. I ponder it. I look intently into it. It says that the person who does this is like looking in a mirror. How many times has the Bible compared Scripture to a mirror? I mean, what's the purpose of a mirror? What does a mirror do? It basically shows you yourself. It evaluates you. Rick Warren was once asked by a woman, she said, Pastor Rick, is makeup a sin? And he said, no way. He said, makeup is a blessing from God. It's a sin for some people not to wear makeup. And do you know that Queen Elizabeth, when she was the first Queen Elizabeth, when she was in her palace, it was filled with mirrors because mirrors were a symbol of wealth and royalty. But as she began to age, she hated looking at herself in the mirror because it just reminded her that she was dying. And so she had all the mirrors removed from her palace. She didn't want to look at her reflection because it scared her. And there's two ways to look in a mirror. You can glance in a mirror or you can gaze in a mirror. You think about the Happy Days. You like that show? The Fonz. What does he always do? Every time he walks by a mirror, he stops. He's like, hey. And then he walks on by. That's glancing in the mirror. All right. You notice he didn't actually, most of the time, he doesn't actually do anything. He just looks in the mirror. He's like, hey, you're perfect. You got it. But what we're talking about is actually gazing into the mirror, stopping, looking intently and digesting what you see. So what I want you to do is, as you go through the small groups, as you go through the daily devotionals, as you're going on oniana.org and you're looking at our 40 days page, and you're looking at those daily video devotionals, those will help you and guide you to gaze intently into the Word of God. It'll also give you a Bible reading plan. There's a lot out there. You can walk through the whole Bible in a year. You can, you know, read the New Testament. You can do all this stuff. Guys, you pick the one that works for you. There's no silver bullet on how to read the Bible and get it all in one shot. It's a process for us. So I really encourage you, find a reading plan, because I want you to receive God's Word with your ear, and I want you to read God's Word with your eyes. Here's number three. Number three, I research it with my hands and my mouth. I research it with my hands and my mouth. Researching is Bible study. That's what we do when we study the Bible. There's a difference between Bible reading and Bible study. Reading the Bible is exactly that, and studying the Bible is exactly what it sounds like. It's not a study unless you have a pen and a pencil, and unless you're reflecting it with someone else. Do you guys have a journal? Do you keep a journal? Man, growing up, I hated journaling. I just thought that was like, at the end of the day, oh, I don't want to sit and write something, you know. But when I got into college, I had some art teachers, and they started teaching me what it meant to journal my thoughts, journal my ideas. And I realized writing it down made me retain so much more of it. And so the two components, writing it down and then the other one, talking about it with somebody else. There it is, small group time. All right? You got eight different small groups you can check out. You sit with a group, you watch a video, you write down what you learned, and then you talk about it. And you're going to retain so much more than if you just heard it alone. John 5:39, Jesus says this. You search the Scriptures. You can circle that word, search. You search the Scriptures. He's talking about Bible study. He's talking about research. You search the Scriptures because you believe that they will give you eternal life. And the Scriptures point to me. That's Jesus Christ. We're going to show you how you can see Jesus through the Old Testament and you can see him in the New Testament by searching the Scriptures. Research it with your hands and with your mouth. Acts 17, Luke talks about a group of people in a city called Berea. He says, the people of Berea were more open-minded than in the other town, Thessalonica. And he said, they listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the Scriptures. There it is again. You can circle that word, searched. That is study. Day after day, they searched it to check up on Paul and Silas to see if they really were teaching the truth. I hope you do that for me. I hope that as I'm standing up here, you guys can lovingly hold me accountable. If I say something is God's word, you can look and say, yeah, it is. Or you can say, I think you're off base, Lincoln. And then I can say, well, you're actually wrong. No, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't say that. No, I love it when people come to me and they say, I have a different interpretation. I say, great, we're going to learn something together. We're both going to learn. Let's do this. So read, and not just read, study. Write it down and say it out loud. The fourth way is this. I build my life on the Bible when I review and remember with my mind. Review and remember with my mind. The Bible says in James 1:25, the man who looks intently, that's reading, into the perfect law and continues to do this, that's reviewing, not forgetting what he's heard, that's remembering, he will be blessed in what he does. If you're going to be blessed, you got to learn how to review and remember with your mind. Reviewing is constantly doing this all throughout the day. You're reviewing things. It says in the Bible, in so many different cases, I think I lost my spot here, but there's different points in the Bible where it talks about meditating upon the law of God day and night. Day and night. And that means meditation. You might say, meditation is basically reviewing something over and over again in your mind so that it eventually makes its way into the heart. You might say, oh, Lincoln, I got this terrible memory. I can't remember anything. And I can ask them, can you remember your phone number? What's your wife's name? What school is your kid at right now? Because you got to go get them. You remember what's important to you. And the crazy thing is, your mind is like a muscle. The more you learn how to memorize, how to meditate on something, the more of the capacity for memorization increases too. So if you're saying, I have a weakness, I can't memorize things very well, I can say, hey, you want to improve that? Memorize the scriptures. And you know what's going to happen as well? God's word is going to make that 18-inch track from your brain into your heart, because you're going to know it inside and out. And the crazy thing is, when something bad happens to you, it's like I don't seem to ever have a hard copy open Bible right there in that moment. When I hit a temptation, when I hit a moment where I feel sick or anger or something like that, it always seems like I'm out doing something or I'm somewhere, and I don't seem to actually have it within reach in that moment. But man, when I memorize the Bible and I digest it and it's a part of me, in that moment when I'm at my lowest, the Holy Spirit can speak that into you. I love you. Can speak that scripture verse into you that gives you strength. So meditation is that word. Meditation is simply remembering and reviewing scripture in your mind. That's the other little blank that you'll see up there. I'll skip down over to number 5. So, I receive it with my ears, I read it with my eyes, I research it with my hands, I write down notes, I talk about it. I review it, I remember it with my mind, and here's the last one. I respond to it with my actions. James 1:22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Exclamation point. Do what it says. Turn it into actions. It says, don't deceive yourself. How do we deceive ourselves? If we think we've heard something, we've got it. No. If I tell you how to be a great dad, it's not going to do you any good unless you go out and actually apply it in your life. Unless you respond to it with action. If I talk to you how about build a balanced budget for your business, but you actually don't go out and build a balanced budget, you haven't learned anything. You only believe the parts of the Bible that you actually do. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. Not you'll listen to my commands. Not you'll hear them. You will obey them. You'll do it. We are doers of the word. Okay, so let's go back to the beginning. Matthew 24. We'll go back to the Sermon on the Mount. Look at this verse. It says, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, you can underline that if you want, puts it into practice. In other words, you're a doer of the word. You're an applier of the word. You respond to it. This person is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down. The streams rose. The winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundations upon the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine, like you come to church and you listen to them, but you don't put them into practice, everyone who does that is like a foolish person who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. I don't want that to happen to you. I don't want that to happen to you. I want you to have your life built on the solid rock of the Word of God. We don't know what storms are coming at us. But I do know this, that you'll crumble if you don't have that foundation in your life. The solid foundation for your life is not the opinion of others. It's not money. It's not security in worldly things. It's not what's popular on TV. It's not prevailing culture. Those things change. They shift like sand. You must build your life on the unchanging Word of God. And when you build your life on truth, and this truth is timeless. It was true thousands of years ago when it was written, and it's true today as well. And it'll be true for thousands of years to come. Why? Because it's a rock. And you need that rock to build your life. I'll give you a simple tool to remember those five senses, okay? The five things that we talked about today. A guy named Dawson Trotman had this hand illustration. It calls five ways to get a grip on the Word. I need a Bible real quick. Thanks, honey. All right. So, if I was to hand this Bible to somebody... Actually, you know what? You want to do this with me?
Sure.
Here we go. She's a good sport. If I was to try and grab onto this Bible using only one of those things... So, if I was to listen to God's Word, and I was to grab on this Bible using only that one finger, can you pull it out of my hand? Yeah, pretty easily. All right? Listening to God's Word alone does not give me a grip on His Word. So when Satan comes along and grabs onto you and knocks you down and hits stuff at you, the Word of God is not embedded in you. It's not right there to help you and to serve you, and it's pulled right out of your grasp. So let's say you don't just come to church to hear the Bible. Let's say you actually read it every day. That's two fingers, all right? I got it with two fingers. You ready? Do you think she can pull this out of my hand? Oh, come on, have more faith in me. All right. Well, she got it. So I don't just hear it, I actually read it every day. And let's just say, when I hear the Word of God, I remember it. And when I read it, I research. And I study the Word of God with my friends in a small group. And I review it, and I meditate on it, and I respond to it. What happens then? All five things. Got it. Pull that Bible out of my hand. Come on. I got it. I got a grip on the Word of God. I've got a grip on it. And it's there for me when I need it, because I'm built on the rock. And that's my goal for us over the next 40 days. If you lived your entire life, let's say you've been a Christian for 1 year, 10 years, 20 years, and you always think to yourself, you know, oh, I sort of know things about the Bible. This is the time for you to get a grip on it. I'm going to give you the tools, and we can take that step forward. So let's bow our heads and let's pray. I want to ask you to pray a simple prayer. You follow me with this right now. Dear God, I want to build my life on the rock, not on sand. I want a solid foundation of truth. I want to build my life on the Bible. So I commit my next 40 days to learning how to do these things. I want to receive your word with my ears. I want to hear God speak to me. I want to read your word with my eyes. I want to begin a regular habit of Bible reading. I want to research your word in a small group. I want to write it down and discuss it and talk it out. I want to study your word, and I want to learn how to do that. I want to learn to meditate, to remember and review your word throughout my day. I want to respond to your word and do what it says. In this moment, if you've never actually invited Jesus into your life, right now, pray with me. Jesus Christ, I ask you to come into my life and make me what you want me to be. Save me. I don't understand it all, but I know I need you. I know I've done wrong things, and I ask you to forgive me. I want to turn away from those things. I want to go your way, not my way. I want to learn to love you and trust you. And by faith, I ask you to accept me into your family. In your name I pray. Amen. Hey, there could be somebody here today who just made a step towards God, who just said, you know what, 2014, Lord, I want to grow closer to you. And right in that moment, they just took a step forward in prayer. How awesome is that? How awesome is that? If you've done that, I want to say congratulations. God's not going to disappoint you. And over these next 40 days, jump in. Get your feet wet. The water's fine. We're going to have a great time, and we're going to walk out of here loving God's Word, learning God's Word, and living it in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's do this.